When the Roses Bloom Again by Lee McCusker, read by Sam Gabriel, based on the works of J.K. Rowling.
Chapter 99, 2-1. March 1960. Harry always felt somber when he came here. Although it had only been 2 years ago that Nicholas and Perronel had passed away, he found himself here more often than he cared to admit. The Flamels were the closest things to parents he had ever had, and he missed them both dearly. He had hoped that they would change their minds, that they would ask for him to return the stone. But neither had, and Harry had watched them deteriorate rather rapidly when the effects of the elixir of life wore off. They had been at peace for what was coming, had remained devoted to each other until the very end, but for Harry and the others that cared for them, it was difficult to watch. Nicholas and Perronel had come to rely on one another so much that neither wished to be without the other for a second. As much as they tried to hold on to every second of life from fear of leaving the other one behind, it was Nicholas that perished first, and Perronel followed only a few moments after. Harry had been there with them, had carried out their final wishes for their burials, and had cursed them after for many things, though the love he felt for them never wavered. The duo had left almost all their worldly possessions to him, under the guise of maintaining the story that he was their several times over nephew. Albus had been given some books on alchemy and a few personal effects from both, but everything else had gone to Harry. As much as he treasured the library, the weaponry, and even the plants that Perronel had asked him to look after, nothing was a replacement for either. Bastards, he snorted amusedly. He had wasted no time in destroying the stone when both were gone. He had no desire to use it for himself, and there was always the risk that someone would come for it. Voldemort had during Harry's first year, after all. His expression darkened as he pondered the man. Riddle's acts of depravity had evidently extended further than he had known. Even before his 7th year at Hogwarts, the boy, for that was what he had been at the time, had orchestrated the murder of his Muggle family. Although the Muggles believed Frank Bryce had been responsible, Harry knew better. Having visited Little Hangleton for himself, he had felt the faint traces of Tom's magic, and it took little effort on his part to deduce what had really occurred. It had been sobering, visiting the place that the Dark Lord had once been given a new body, the place that Cedric had been murdered, and the same place that the final vestiges of innocence had been stolen from Harry. It was a difficult thought to ignore, but no harder than following the man's trail of murders he had committed across the globe. Abreu had been the one to alert him to the suspicious death of a woman in Greece that had the Aurors baffled. As a favor to his friend, Harry had looked into it, and immediately recognized the magic left behind. There was no doubt in his mind that Tom had been there, and many other places. Over the years he had killed more than 20 people, all of whom he had used for his own gain before eliminating them in cold blood. The scenes that Harry reviewed were among the most gruesome things he had experienced, but there was still no sign of Voldemort. The man would be back, of that Harry had no doubt, but he had long grown impatient, and despite his best efforts he could not locate his foe.
"He will come to you, Harry. It is written in the stars."
Those had been the words of Nicholas, and though Harry knew them to be true, it did not prevent the frustration he felt.
"I'll get him," Harry vowed,
turning towards the church a short distance away as the clock chimed 11 a.m. If he didn't leave now, he would be late to fulfill another promise he'd made, this one to Arcturus. It was meant to be done so a few years prior, but things had changed, meaning it had been put on hold until now. In truth, with the death of Nicholas and Perronel, Harry had forgotten about it until Arcturus had reminded him only a few weeks prior. With a sigh, he activated his portkey, before apparating from his own study to a house belonging to the Lord Black, that was currently occupied by his youngest son and his wife. As far as homes for such a prominent family went, this one was rather humble. It was big in comparison to any average house, but it was not close to Harry's own or others he had seen of families with such a high social status. Ringing the bell, he waited to be let in, and was greeted by a diminutive elf garbed in a grey apron with the black family crest stitched into the front.
"Baron Evans, sir," the creature croaked. "Please follow Dougal."
With a nod, Harry did so. I was shown into a drawing room where a slew of people were waiting for him.
"Harry!"
Arcturus greeted him warmly, shaking his hand and pulling him into an embrace. Harry returned the gesture with a smile, noticing how taken aback the other occupants of the room were by their lord's cheery demeanor. "How's it going?" he asked. Arcturus snorted.
"Same as always," he huffed. "I spend my days surrounded by simpering morons who want to kiss my arse, hoping to get some favor or other. Much as yourself, I suppose."
Harry shook his head. "I just stopped opening the letters." Arcturus laughed as he clapped him smartly on the shoulder.
"I wish I could do that sometimes. I do envy you for it," he sighed. "Come and let me reintroduce you to this lot. It's been a while since you've seen them."
It had, although neither avoided the other purposefully. Both Harry and Arcturus were busy men and didn't get to see each other as much as they would like. They made a point to meet with Charles in the Potter basement perhaps once or twice a month, but beyond that, it was often difficult to make time for more.
"You remember my oldest boy and heir, Orion," Arcturus began, "and his wife, Walburga."
The man looked very much like Arcturus, but there was an uncanny resemblance to Sirius, something that had developed the older he became.
"Baron Evans,"
Orion greeted him with a bow. Walburga had been the biggest surprise to him. He had first met the woman at Orion's wedding when he had graduated from Hogwarts. She was a far cry from the screeching banshee he remembered that occupied a portrait in Grimmauld Place, but only time would tell if she would become it once more. Walburga was a beautiful woman, and oddly where Sirius seemed to get most of his own looks from. The woman was heavily pregnant now, on the cusp of birthing who had once been Harry's godfather. Walburga offered him a deep curtsy once she was introduced.
"My youngest son, Cygnus,"
Arcturus continued, indicating the other man in the room.
"Baron Evans," Cygnus spoke, his voice much bolder than that of his older brother. "Thank you for taking the time out to assist my wife. It is truly appreciated."
Harry offered him a nod and accepted the proffered limb. "Your father's a good friend of mine, and if there's something I can help his family with, it will be done," he replied. Cygnus smiled gratefully. It was important that Harry was respectful, but also that he reminded them that he technically outranked them in society. Not that such a thing was important to him, but it mattered to others.
"The young lady you'll be assisting is Cygnus's wife, Druella,"
Arcturus introduced, indicating the woman stood a little further back from the rest of the group. She stepped forward and offered a less refined curtsy of her own. Druella was the only adult in the room that was blonde-haired. Her skin was pale, but her features were sharp and refined. She, too, was beautiful, but in a different way to Walburga.
"And finally,
Melania," Harry greeted the last woman fondly, pulling her into a hug. "I hope he's looking after you. Remember, if you ever need to escape, I'm always on hands to get you out of here," he added with a wink. Melania giggled as she swatted Harry's shoulder. "I'll remember that, but you don't need to worry. I keep him on a tight lead." "I don't doubt it," Harry chuckled, ignoring the scowl Arcturus sent his way.
"Bloody heavens,"
the Lord Black grumbled amusedly.
"Come on, you prat, there's a few more to meet yet."
Arcturus steered him towards a trio of girls who had been hiding behind Druella, each of them looking up at him in what he could only deem to be wonder. Harry recognized two of them even before Arcturus spoke further. The eldest with her oddly violet eyes that seemed to be so innocent from when he had last looked into them, and the second with her platinum hair that differentiated her from the rest of the family. At the sight of Bellatrix, the memory of the night he'd experienced before being transported here played over in his mind. She had killed Sirius, and he had cast the Cruciatus curse on her, albeit rather unsuccessfully. Instinctively, Harry almost reached for his wand, but he stopped himself as Arcturus's voice interrupted his thoughts.
"This is my eldest granddaughter, Bellatrix."
"Baron Evans,"
the girl greeted him. She was seemingly in awe of his presence, the same way the woman he had met revered Voldemort, and Harry fought the urge to shiver.
"Bellatrix," he said with a smile.
"You have a very nice name." The girl beamed in response, as she blushed shyly, something Harry would never have associated with the psychopathic woman he had met briefly. She seemed to be a girl, but Harry would be watching her closely.
Andromeda is our second daughter,
Cygnus explained. Hello, Andromeda. This was the woman who would one day be Tonks's mother. Harry had never met the woman, but the metamorph had spoken fondly of her. The girl offered him a curtsy as the woman had, and looked up at him with her dark, shining eyes. She looked very much like her elder sister, but the last of the trio, who could be no more than 2 or 3 years old, did not.
And this one here is Narcissa,
Cygnus declared proudly as he tickled his daughter, who giggled. Narcissa Malfoy. Harry vaguely remembered the sour-faced woman he had seen in Diagon Alley before his second year when Mr. Weasley had brawled with Lucius. The memory brought a grin to his lips. The past few years in particular had seen the emergence of names that Harry recognized from when he had been younger, some good and some bad, but the world was slowly but surely becoming the one he had left behind so long ago. Harry had been here for almost 25 years now, and though his former life was mostly a collection of memories he'd rather forget, he still thought of it often.
Hello, Narcissa, Harry greeted the girl. Don't you have some pretty hair?
Once in a while we do get a blonde in our line, Arcturus explained. She will be a beauty when she's older. They all will be.
And you will have the job of fighting off any unworthy suitors, Harry pointed out.
Ha! I'll just get here to do it, Arcturus laughed. All right, that's enough of the formality. Harry is here for a reason, so let's leave him to it.
Without further comment, the members of the Black family took their leave of the room, and Harry was left with Druella, who had become suddenly fidgety.
Why don't you sit down? Harry suggested. This will be much harder if you're nervous.
The woman smiled and did so.
Would you like tea or coffee?
She asked, pointing to a platter that Arcturus had undoubtedly arranged.
A coffee would be wonderful, Harry replied as he took the seat opposite Druella by the fireplace.
Her hands trembled as she poured him a cup, and Harry took a sip once it had been given to him.
Why don't we start with your owl results? Do you have them?
Druella nodded and handed Harry a roll of parchment. Reading over her grades, he nodded. This wouldn't be such an arduous task after all. The woman had done quite well.
Would you like to get your newt in all of these?
Druella nodded.
I'm hoping to.
Then that's what we will do, Harry declared. We will spend a few hours a day on weekdays working for them, if that's okay with you.
I don't want to take up so much of your time, Baron Evans.
Harry waved the woman off. It's no trouble, he assured her. I can see this is important to you, and deep down, out of everything people seem to think of me, I am an educator.
Then why aren't you at Hogwarts permanently?
Maybe one day I will be, Harry answered. But for now I'm here. Druella smiled gratefully.
Thank you, Baron Evans, she said sincerely. I can't tell you how much I appreciate this.
You can thank me by putting the work in, Harry chuckled. And if we're going to be spending so much time together, don't you think you should call me Harry? The Baron thinks it's very boring.
Druella nodded. I won't let you down, Harry.
Breaking through the surface of the lake, Jack made his way back to the shore, shivering as he stepped out of the water. Even during the milder months of the year, it was cold before the sun rose. Thankfully, a warming charm took care of the chill, and without breaking his stride, the teen began running laps of the grounds. He had been doing this since finishing his 4th year of Hogwarts when he returned home and informed his parents of the career he wished to pursue. His mother had not been best pleased by his decision, but his father had been immensely proud, and even happier when Jack asked the man to train him. As the only 2 males in the house, Jack had naturally gravitated towards his father, and he looked up to the man. He didn't want to be his father by any stretch, not with what he had endured throughout his life, but he wanted to be just like him, for no other reason than the kind of man he was. Harry Evans was Jack's hero. In a little over a year, he would be graduating from Hogwarts and would be joining the Auror Academy, should his grades allow him. He discussed it with Uncle Reg, who had also supported his choice and had even assisted with his training during the summer, something Jack had stuck to religiously. It had been a struggle at first, and for weeks after they had begun, he had been sore and tired. Jack had thought that the 2 men were trying to deter him from being an Auror, but that couldn't have been further from the truth. Uncle Reg and his dad merely wanted him to give his all, to be the best that he could be. Jack couldn't be more grateful for the men who were teaching him well, even if he felt so mediocre in comparison to them. Reg was an incredible wizard in his own right, but Jack's father was something else entirely.
Growing up and having come to Hogwarts, he had heard of the man's prowess with a wand, but seeing it for himself had been as awe-inspiring as it was frightening. Experiencing it gave Jack a glimpse of the man that had defeated Grindelwald, the dangerous and violent man his father could be when needed. He had never seen it before. His father had always been so fun, if a little quiet. But there was a terrifying side to him that none of the Evans siblings knew of until Jack had asked him for a demonstration. Slowing his pace when he realized the sun was coming up, the Slytherin student returned to the dungeons, where he showered and dressed for the day. It was a Hogsmeade weekend, but Jack had no desire to visit the village with his housemates. There was somewhere else he would rather be.
"Evans, are you joining us today?"
"Walden," Jack greeted the boy as he entered the common room. "I'll come back to the village with you, but I have an appointment to keep."
"A girl?"
McNair asked, waggling his eyebrows suggestively. Jack chuckled as he shook his head.
"No.
I'm to see my grandparents." The other boy nodded his understanding.
"Understood," he replied. "I'll bring back some treacle fudge for you."
Jack nodded gratefully as he followed McNair, Rosier, Roll, and Travers out of the dungeons and joined them in one of the carriages that had arrived. His peers would have breakfast in the village, and Jack was looking forward to his grandmother's cooking, something he didn't get to enjoy as much as he'd like.
"We'll cover for you if anyone asks," Travers assured him.
"Thanks," Jack replied.
"I'll see you later."
"Have fun, Evans," Rosier called after him. Jack nodded and headed towards the Three Broomsticks, where he took the flue to his favorite house, other than his own.
"What are you doing here, Jack?"
his grandmother asked as he arrived.
"I snuck away from Hogsmeade,"
Jack answered unashamedly, eliciting a huff from the woman. Nevertheless, she pulled him into her arms, and Jack melted into the embrace. His grandparents were two of his favorite people.
"You'll be in trouble if your mother finds out."
"Are you going to tell her?" Jack asked cheekily. Isabel McGonagall narrowed her eyes and swiped at him with a tea towel.
"Of course not," she sighed. "Come, let's get you some breakfast, if you're anything like your father. I'd best put some more on."
Jack laughed as he helped cut some bread. His father was a strong man, but had a much bigger appetite than anyone would believe.
"It really is good to see you,"
his grandmother murmured happily. Jack smiled at the woman, giving her a pointed look as she attempted to lift the trays laden with food.
"Let me," he insisted.
"Fine,"
the woman sighed before kissing him on the cheek.
"You're a good boy, Jack. You just like him."
"I tried to be,"
Jack replied as he headed toward the table and placed the trays down.
"Where's Grandad?" "He's listening to the wireless. After all these years, he's still fascinated by it."
Jack chuckled as he left the kitchen, pausing as he spotted his grandfather leaning back in his armchair with his eyes closed, humming along to a song playing on the radio. As he entered, the man noticed him, and his eyes widened in surprise.
"Jack!"
The teen approached and hugged the man.
"Snuck out again, have you?"
"I might have."
Robert chuckled amusedly.
"Your mother will tan your hide, boy. Never mind you here now."
"And breakfast is ready,"
Jack pointed.
"Is it? I must have been listening longer than I thought,"
Robert mused aloud.
"Come on, lad. Give me a hand up,"
he requested as he reached for his cane. Jack did so, pulling the man to his feet and steadying him before allowing his grandfather to make his way to the kitchen.
"You're getting strong,"
Robert commented.
"You get that from my side of the family?"
"Not my father?"
"I am too,"
his grandfather chuckled, wincing as he hobbled on his way.
"Sad to see."
As a muggle, Robert McGonagall was aging much quicker than his wife, and though Jack had discussed the possibility of giving the man a concoction of potions to help, his grandfather would hear nothing of the sort.
"God decides when me time is up, lad."
His grandfather would die many years before his grandmother, but Jack would be here for her, as would the rest of the family.
"Come get yourself some proper food, Jack," his grandfather insisted. "I bet you don't get tatties like this in that castle of yours."
"We don't,"
Jack confirmed, helping himself to a sizable portion of each of the foods, even the black pudding that his father disliked.
"Have you seen Rosa?"
"Aye, she came in just yesterday,"
Isabel answered.
"She said that she'll be starting next year."
Jack nodded. He was proud of what Rosa had achieved. She had worked tirelessly to be accepted into the Harpy's developmental team, and even harder since she had been there. He didn't see his older sister as much as he liked, but that would change when he graduated.
The twins would soon finish their third year at Hogwarts and had proven to be as troublesome as ever. Jack suspected that her mother's hair would grey prematurely if they continued as they were. It made him glad that they had been sorted into Gryffindor, but he suspected that Jasmine would maybe be a Slytherin, or a Ravenclaw if not. As much as they often irritated him, Jack loved all of his sisters dearly, though he often felt the need to get away from them. Growing up with five stubborn females had been difficult, but he wouldn't have had it any other way.
"Still training, I see," the voice of his grandfather interrupted his thoughts. "You look like your father did when he was your age."
"Do I?"
"Aye, he was a strong lad, too. He'll be a great Auror."
Jack smiled as he continued eating his breakfast, simply enjoying spending time with his grandparents. Being compared to his father always made him feel proud, and though he would become a man in his own right, he would never stop trying to live up to the example the man had set. Harry had certainly had his reservations when Arcturus had asked him to tutor his daughter-in-law, but he couldn't deny that Druella Black was willing to dedicate herself to her studies. Already she had proven herself to be competent in charms, transfiguration, potions, and herbology, but her knowledge in defensive magic was sorely lacking. Still, it was something that could be worked on, and Harry had no doubt she would do well in the subject given time.
"Can you really defend yourself from the killing curse?" Druella asked,
looking up from the notes he had provided on the topic. Harry nodded. "Despite the nature of the spell, it's one of the easiest curses to defend against," he replied. "It is one of the few spells that must be vocalized, and it is not a short incantation. Summoning or conjuring a physical barrier will block it, but no known magical shield can."
"Do you think there's a magical shield that could?"
"Probably," Harry said thoughtfully. "But who would be the fool to test them?" Druella laughed at the thought.
"Only someone very stupid."
"Exactly," Harry agreed, adjusting the small girl that had fallen asleep on his lap.
"I'm sorry about her," Druella sighed. "Arcturus has filled their heads with stories about you. As far as Bellatrix is concerned, you're the most interesting person in the world."
Harry waved off the apology. As disturbing as it was to have what had been the murderer of his godfather take such a shine to him, he reminded himself that Bellatrix was just a little girl here, and was quite sweet in her own way. Whether or not she stayed like this was something else entirely, but knowing of the potential downfall of the Blacks in the future, Harry was determined to prevent it. He had come to care for Arcturus dearly, and the rest of the family for that matter. If he could prevent their demise, he would do just that, for Sirius at the very least.
"She's fine," Harry assured Druella. "Does Cygnus not spend much time with them?"
Druella shook her head.
"He wanted sons," she explained. "I don't doubt that he loves them, but his ambition is his priority. He doesn't wish to live in the shadows of his father and brother."
"Ambition," Harry snorted. "That man is everything he could ever hope for."
"He doesn't see it that way," Druella murmured sadly. "It's a curse for those born into it. As far as he's concerned, the girls will one day be his way in with some of the other influential families."
Harry frowned at the thought. The Malfoys and the Strangers. Bellatrix and Narcissa had been married off to them.
"Then maybe you should have a talk with Arcturus," he urged.
"I will if I feel the need to." She wouldn't. And Harry made a note to himself to do so on her behalf. Despite coming from a prominent family herself, she had no power in this house, and even Arcturus would disregard much of what she said.
"Let's do some practical work," he suggested.
"There's only so much you can learn from reading."
"You're not going to cast a killing curse at me, are you?" Druella asked worriedly.
Harry chuckled amusedly.
"You don't think I'm that crazy, do you?"
"You did fight a dragon," Druella pointed out. Harry grimaced at the thought.
"True," he sighed, "but I've no desire to see you dead.
I'm going to just run through some of the syllabus and spells you'll be expected to cast during your exam." Druella breathed a sigh of relief as she stood, and Harry followed suit, still holding on to the slumbering girl.
"She's really taken with you," Druella giggled. "She's not like that with anyone else."
"Then I should think myself lucky," Druella nodded, a warm smile cresting her lips.
"Maybe we should put her to bed," she suggested.
Harry nodded his agreement, and the two of them left the drawing room where they bumped into Cygnus.
"Again?"
the man asked amusedly as he spotted Bellatrix in Harry's arms.
"She adores him,"
Druella huffed good-naturedly.
"I can see that,"
Cygnus chuckled.
"Are you heading to the basement?"
"We're going to do some practical work," Harry explained.
"Do you mind if I join you?" Cygnus asked. "I'm quite intrigued to see the methods of the revered Harry Evans."
Harry rolled his eyes but nodded.
"Dougal, could you take Bellatrix to bed?" Cygnus called.
The elf appeared immediately and relieved Harry of his burden before disappearing once more.
"Show him," Cygnus questioned.
Harry followed the duo towards the basement, his thoughts on the pair not at all what he had expected them to be. Cygnus was an ambitious man, arrogant in many ways and very prideful, but there was nothing overtly malicious about him beyond what one would expect by someone carrying his name. Druella, on the other hand, was a sweet woman, a doting mother, and somebody who wished to please everyone. She had a fiery side to her, and her husband knew not to push her too far. What was abundantly clear, however, was that they truly cared for one another, and as he watched the man hold the door open for his wife, Harry couldn't help but wonder just what could possibly go wrong for them.
Voldemort.
The thought sobered him immediately, and once more he was reminded of just how devastating his presence would be for what he could only see as a happy family. Charles was pacing frantically outside of one of the birthing suites in St. Mungo's. It had been hours ago that he had been notified that Dorea had gone into labor, and much to his relief, she had done so whilst at work. She had been told months ago to take it easy by the other healers, but being her stubborn self, she hadn't listened. For 2 years they'd been trying for a baby before she felt pregnant, and now the time was here. Charles was terrified for both his wife and unborn child. Complications? What did that even mean? Charles knew little of childbirth, and though he had been learning as much as he could about raising a baby, he had not been prepared for this.
"Sit down, Charles," Angelica encouraged, steering him towards a seat.
He didn't want to sit down, he wanted to know what was happening. Tapping his foot impatiently, he did all he could and waited. Charles couldn't be certain how much time had passed before a healer emerged from within the room.
"Lord Potter?"
the woman questioned. Charles stood, his mouth dry as he nodded. He was acutely aware of his mother rubbing his arm comfortingly as the healer spoke.
"Dorea will be okay, but she has lost quite a lot of blood," she explained. "The umbilical cord was wrapped around the baby's throat, and Dorea hemorrhaged quite badly after we got him out. It was touch and go for a while, but you have a healthy baby boy."
Charles choked in relief.
"Dorea?"
he asked.
"Is resting," the healer informed him. "We gave her a sleeping draught, so she'll be out for some time. I'm sorry, Lord Potter, but as things are and the damage done to her, it is unlikely she will be able to bear another child."
In this moment, Charles didn't care about that. So long as his wife and son were safe and well, that's all that mattered.
"Can I see them?" he asked.
The healer nodded and gestured for Charles and Angelica to follow her. Entering the room, the Lord Potter could smell the blood, and the first thing he saw was the pale, sleeping form of his wife. Were it not for the rise and fall of her chest, he would have believed her to be dead. The thought alone terrified him, and he swallowed the lump that formed in his throat.
"Bloody hell," he muttered worriedly.
"She's been given blood replenishers and pain relievers," the healer explained. "Dorea will need lots of rest for the next week, so I'll be keeping her in."
Charles nodded his understanding.
"She almost died, didn't she?"
The healer nodded grimly.
"She did," the woman confirmed. "She's made of stone stuff."
Charles wiped away a tear as he sat and took her hand in his own. It was cold to the touch, confirming his maudlin thoughts.
"I'll leave you to it, but call if you need anything," the healer instructed.
Charles nodded mutely as he continued to stare at Dorea. He didn't know what he would do without her.
"They both made it, Charles," his mother's voice broke in. "They're both okay."
Charles turned towards her, his mouth falling agape as he spotted the bundle of blankets she was cradling.
"Would you like to see your son?"
Charles held out his arms, and when the boy was placed into them, he looked upon him. There was no denying he was a Potter. From his messy dark hair to his nose and jawline, he looked just like Charles, with only a sprinkling of Dorea in the shape of his eyes.
"Is he as perfect as I said he'd be?"
a hoarse voice questioned. Dorea couldn't even open her eyes, but she was listening.
"No,"
Charles snorted.
"He looks too much like me."
A ghost of a grin tugged at Dorea's lips.
"At least he'll be handsome."
She fell silent once more as she lost consciousness, and Charles finally felt that his life was complete.
"Is there anyone you want me to inform?"
Angelica asked. For the first time, Charles smiled as his gaze shifted between his wife and son.
Can you send for Harry and Dr. S? He asked. They should be the first people to know.
Angelica laughed. Of course Charles would ask for them. Squeezing his shoulder, Angelica left the room, and Charles placed a kiss on his son's head.
You have no idea how many people will love you, he murmured.
Dad always said he was good, but he makes it look so easy, Sickness whispered.
Druella nodded, breathless from being put through her paces.
He did kill Grindelwald, she pointed out. It's so hard to believe,
Sickness murmured. He's just so calm. Cygnus frowned thoughtfully as he drew his wand.
What are you doing?
Druella hissed. Before Druella could stop him, Cygnus fired a stinging axe towards Harry, who had his back to them whilst he was setting up an obstacle course for her. The woman's mouth fell agape as Harry seemed to sense the incoming spell and sent it back towards her husband with a hiss. The shield Cygnus raised was destroyed, and the now green spell slammed into his chest, sending him sprawling to the ground, gasping for breath and bereft of his wand. It was a foolish thing to do. But it wasn't the sight of her wheezing husband Druella was drawn to. It was the approaching Baron Evans, his eyes seemingly ablaze with fury. This was the man that Arcturus Black told tales of, the ruthless killer that lurked beneath the calm exterior. It was frightening, to say the least. Cygnus was no slouch with his wand, but the speed and power of the retaliation she had witnessed would have been unbelievable had she not seen it for herself. Harry had made Cygnus appear to be an overeager amateur who had never even held a wand before.
"Don't do that again," Harry growled. "Next time it won't be a banishing hex that is returned."
Cygnus nodded as he pushed himself to his feet, clutching his ribs.
"I'm sorry, Baron Evans," he choked.
Harry's nostrils flared, but he returned his wand up his sleeve.
"I think you broke my ribs,"
Cygnus chuckled. "Then you're lucky I held back." Cygnus shook his head.
"I always thought Dad was full of it when he spoke about you. Bloody hell, was I wrong?"
Harry hummed irritably, turning towards the door as it opened.
"I had a bad dream,"
Bellatrix sobbed. It was incredible to Druella how quickly Harry's demeanor changed when the girl ran to him and held up her arms expectantly. The feral expression all but vanished and his expression softened. With only a slight hesitation, he picked her up and began whispering comfortingly to her. Druella felt lost. Bellatrix always came to her when she had a bad dream or she hurt herself, but the girl hadn't given her a second look before she went straight to the man.
"It's all right," Harry soothed. "The bad dreams can't hurt you."
Bellatrix nodded into his neck, and Druella felt Cygnus take her hand as they watched Harry comfort their daughter until she fell asleep in his arms.
"Bloody hell, she must really like you," Cygnus murmured. "She doesn't even come to me like that."
Druella nodded her agreement. Bellatrix was a very sweet girl in her own way, but she didn't take to many people. She loved her grandmother, but was wary of most others. It worried Druella at times, because if anything happened to her, Cygnus or her grandmother, Bellatrix would be inconsolable. She had no doubt the girl would be cared for by the rest of the family, but there wouldn't be that connection she shared with so few. Oddly, she seemed to have found it with Harry so quickly. Cygnus cleared his throat as he observed their daughter.
"Baron Evans, I have no right to ask this, but my father thinks very highly of you, and his opinion means everything to me. If my wife agrees, I would ask that you consider becoming Bellatrix's godfather. Since Druella fell pregnant for the first time, we lost touch with most of our friends, and I wouldn't trust any outside of my family with my children. I've known you since I was a boy. My father sees you as a brother, and I would be honored if you were to accept."
To Druella, it made sense. Whatever it was about Harry Evans that drew her daughter to the man was quite unheard of, and knowing the kind of man he was only endeared her more to the idea. Harry didn't seem to be sure, however. His expression almost pained until he looked at the girl, and he deflated. Whatever thoughts he was warring with, Druella knew not, but after only a moment, he nodded.
"I will do it," he murmured, "but I have two conditions."
Cygnus smiled, and Druella breathed a sigh of relief.
"Name them," her husband urged. "I would like to have a hand in her education as she's growing up."
Cygnus nodded excitedly at the prospect.
"What's the other?"
Druella asked. that I'm given final approval of any potential suitors you line up for her to marry. Cygnus frowned.
You wish to be married into your family?
Harry shook his head. No, nothing of the sort, he assured them. I understand your family traditions and I will uphold them, but if I am to be her godfather, I must insist that when she is grown, she'll be cared for by a good man. It was an odd request to make, but not one Druella objected to.
I see no issue with that,
Cygnus replied, looking towards Druella, who simply nodded her consent.
Your terms are accepted, Baron Evans.
Cygnus offered his hand, wincing from the shake as he continued to favor his ribs.
I think you should go to St. Mungo's,
Druella huffed irritably. I'll teach you for being so foolish.
I've learnt my lesson, Cygnus chuckled.
Come on, I'll take you, Harry offered as he handed Bellatrix back to Druella, who rolled her eyes as her husband was helped from the room. What Cygnus had done was monumentally stupid, but somehow it had led to something good. Bellatrix would be delighted at the news, something she would be able to break sooner rather than later as the girl stirred, her eyes fluttering open.
Where's Harry?
She asked tiredly.
He had to take your father to the hospital, Druella grumbled. He'll be back to see you tomorrow.
Bellatrix smiled as Druella adjusted the girl in her arms and left the basement.
Do you like Harry?
She asked. It was a redundant question, but her daughter's smile widened.
He's really nice and strong.
Strong? Druella asked curiously. Bellatrix nodded.
Sometimes I feel like I can feel his magic. He's really strong.
He is, Druella agreed. What does his magic feel like?
It wasn't unheard of for people to be sensitive to ambient magic, but to feel someone's else was quite rare, especially when Harry had never cast any spell around the girl. Bellatrix frowned thoughtfully for a moment.
Safe, she answered simply before she yawned. It feels safe.
Well, that's good, Druella mused aloud, because your father asked Harry if he would be your godfather.
What does that mean?
Druella pondered just how she could explain it to the girl, before her daughter's words repeated themselves in her mind.
It means that you will see lots of Harry and that he'll keep you safe. Would you like that?
Really?
Bellatrix asked excitedly, squirming in her mother's arms. Druella laughed as she let the girl onto the floor.
You're happy then?
Bellatrix nodded frantically and Druella took her by the hand.
Come on. Shall I get you and your sisters a snack?
Bellatrix all but bounded towards the kitchen, and Druella struggled to keep up with her daughter. It was good to see her so happy, and with a man like Harry Evans in her life, it assuaged many of the worries Druella had about her eldest daughter growing up.
I really am sorry about attacking you, Cygnus grunted as he and Harry entered St. Mungo's. Not my best idea.
Harry could only shake his head. It was a poor idea on the man's part, and what followed had come as even more of a shock. Somehow he now found himself as the godfather to who he had known to be perhaps the most prolific Death Eater throughout Voldemort's uprising. Try as he had, Harry could find no reason to deny the Blacks the request. Here Bellatrix was just a girl, and if anything, being her godfather put him in the perfect position to ensure Wizarding Britain was all the safer. Without Bellatrix Lestrange, Voldemort would be without his most dangerous follower, and his influence may be just enough to steer her clear from the pureblood movement.
Father! Harry's agreed to be Bella's godfather!
Cygnus's voice pulled Harry from his thoughts, and he looked up to see Arcturus approaching them.
As good as that news is, we have something else to attend to,
Arcturus replied grimly.
I'd have sent Ilgar for you, Harry. Duray had the baby.
Did she? She wasn't due for a few weeks. Arcturus nodded.
There's been some complications,
he explained as he led him away from the reception area.
Her and the baby are okay now, but it wasn't good.
What happened? Arcturus released a deep breath as he shook his head.
I don't understand it. You'll have to speak to Charles. He's waiting for you.
Harry said nothing as he continued to follow the man.
What are you doing here?
Arcturus asked Cygnus.
I did something stupid and got my ribs broken,
Cygnus answered sheepishly. Arcturus shot his son a look of irritation.
Can't get them seen to, he sighed. I'll let you know any news.
Cygnus nodded and headed back towards the reception area.
Sorry, gentlemen, you have to wait a moment,
a healer on the maternity ward informed them.
Mrs. Potter is being tended to.
Is she okay?
Arcturus asked.
She's fine,
the healer assured them. And the two men breathed a collective sigh of relief.
So, Bellatrix's godfather,
Arcturus questioned whilst they waited.
How did that happen?
Harry shrugged. I don't know, Harry chuckled, still finding it difficult to believe. Cygnus saw how much he likes me and asked.
And somehow got his ribs broken?
That happened before he cast a spell at me.
Fucking idiot,
Arcturus muttered.
Still it's good news. He thinks a lot of you, Harry, and so does Drubella. She's very grateful for your help.
She's a good woman, Harry said sincerely.
She is,
Arcturus agreed.
Their start was far from ideal, but I must admit that she is good for Cygnus, in case you haven't noticed he can be...
Impulsive, Harry broke in.
We'll go with impulsive,
Arcturus mused aloud.
Regardless, he was smart to ask you. And that I can give him credit for, it only brings us closer.
As does Charles and Lorea's baby.
A boy, Arcturus clarified. They've named him James.
Harry swallowed, his heart filling with a mixture of worry and warmth. James Potter, he murmured.
You can go in now,
the healer informed them. Harry stood, his legs like jelly, as he entered the room to the sight of a tired Dorea and a rather disheveled Charles, who offered them a smile. Angelica was dozing lightly in another chair, evidently exhausted by the experience. How are you? Harry asked Dorea.
I've been better, Dorea answered. Already this one has proven to be trouble.
I have no idea, Harry added internally, fighting the urge to smirk. Would you like to hold him? Charles questioned, offering Harry the bundle of blankets in his arms. It's been a while since I've held a baby, Harry chuckled as he nervously took the boy from his father. Well, you'd better get used to it, Charles sighed. There'll be times when me and Dorea will want a break. And it shall be his godfather that looks after him.
Me?
Harry asked dumbly. Who else is you, Pratt? Charles snorted. He's got his Uncle Archie, and he'll have his godfather. Harry didn't know what to say. You put your life on the line for me, and you did it for my father, Charles continued somberly. There is no one else I would trust more to do it for my son. It wasn't often that Harry became emotional, but in this moment he felt the sincerity in Charles's words, and he could only nod in response.
Two in one day, Evans,
Arcturus guffawed.
Don't let word get out or everyone in Wizarding Britain will be asking.
Two? Charles questioned curiously.
Bellatrix,
Arcturus explained.
Apparently the girl has a little soft spot for this idiot.
Ever the ladies' man, Charles chuckled, eliciting a scowl from Harry. Whatever will Minerva say? Harry could only shrug. It had been a strange day. Becoming Bellatrix's godfather had been unexpected, but being given the same responsibility for his own father was a thought that would certainly take some getting used to. Lord Voldemort looked into the distance, where he could see the white cliffs on the other side of the channel. He'd arrived in France only a few days ago, intent on finally returning to Britain, where his work would truly begin, where the sacrifices he had made over the years would bear the desired fruit. He was ready to face what awaited him, ready to cement his name in history as the greatest wizard to have ever lived. The likes of Dumbledore and Evans would one day be but a footnote in the books that would be written about Lord Voldemort. He smiled to himself, reveling in the sound of the lapping waves below. Voldemort's time was coming, but first, there were matters he needed to attend to. With a final look towards his destination, he vanished silently and reappeared, taking in a lungful of British air for the first time in 15 years.
For this and other stories by the same author, visit leemccusker.com, as well as the fanfiction.net page of The Black's Resurgence. Music by Dr. James Benikoff and Sam Gabriel. If you would like to commission me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as links to my Patreon page, to which I hope you consider subscribing to support me, and my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.